that what would cause revival in the country?
Your mourning being recorded.
That would cause revival. It really would. Oh. Yeah. Many years ago, we moved into the house we're living in now. And Kerry was there to help us move in. And our next door neighbour opened the door to see what was going on. I don't know if you remember this, Kerry, but I do. And she was a little old lady, not Kerry, next door neighbour. And Kerry says, "Hello, this is David and Christine. They're Christians, they love Jesus. And they will share their life with you." You know, it was just great just to... No, it was. It's just thought, yeah, let the neighbours know that you're a Christian. Yeah, I say, revival, just send Kerry in. Oh, hallelujah. I just love those songs, Kerry. Oh, yeah, we want revival, don't we? We need revival.
Liz.
They shouted Hosanna.
Somebody sending a message.
Ever shout Hosanna.
Sounding is still a problem.
Because it means Lord.
Recording. Must be, as you could say, look, yeah. Is anyone else struggling with sound?
The state that the world's got into, the state that everything's into. Anyhow, I digress. Bring the hosannas.
How do you do it?
Saves us. It was great to be here, Friday. Who's here Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it?
One of yours.
I was really pleased. Who was in charge of catering?
Steve.
Oh, he's not. Is he here? He's catering now. It was great, wasn't it? Yeah, a great experience, a great time. And there's some things in history, you know, you just want to be part of, isn't there? Wouldn't you? All of you are far too young, except me and Derek. The 1966 World Cup. Oh, I would love to have been there. You know, England won. I know that's unusual, but England won. It was, you know, any other thing you'd like to have been at during, you know, in history, where would you like to have been?
Andrew, to everyone. Sound good, this end.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's got imaginations like me, obviously. The Queen's coronation. Yeah, I'm not even that old. No, Queen's coronation, that would be great, wouldn't it? We found in the mother-in-law's treasury an old video of the previous king's coronation. That was really weird, that was. We don't know where it came from, who did it, but there it was. No, you've got nothing excited that you would like to be part of? Sorry?
Jesus' birth.
Jesus' birth. Don't worry about Jesus, as long as the cattle and the king. Okay. There in his presence. Seeing him when he laid hands on the sick and they were raised to life. How about being there when he spoke out, "Lazarus, come on out"? It would have been great, wouldn't it? Yeah? Okay. You're allowed to talk. I know you've missed an hour in bed, but you're allowed to get excited. You're allowed to speak to me. You know, "Lazarus, come out." And the rest of the miracles. Have you ever been to Israel? Oh, I went to Israel quite a few years ago. And we were fortunate to go on Sunday morning out on the Sea of Galilee in a boat.
And we were
with some other ministers and like, you know.
I can't hear it, Jim.
Oh, wouldn't it be?
Can't hear anything.
I can hear anything.
So Christine opens her bags and out come all the books. And there we were on this Sunday morning, the Sea of Galilee. It was still. And we were singing praises to God. It was wonderful. Yeah, and another time I was there. It's beautiful. And one of the party was sick and she wasn't very well. And they asked me to pray for her and she was made well. God is good. It's nothing to do with me. You know, my favorite hymn is "No, Not I, But Christ in Me." Okay. But it was great to see that. And then it's supposed to have been. And I sat in a windowsill and I just felt the presence of God come down mightily. And I mean mightily. A few times in my life that's happened, but, you know, there was that tangible presence of God. Not everybody in the group felt it. In fact, I don't know if anybody else did, but it was just that moment being with Jesus, that moment when the Holy Spirit just fell. Oh, it's marvelous. God is good, isn't he? I'm sure you've had experiences in God like that. Oh, can I tell you of another one? It was really, really quite funny but exciting. I was in charge of a youth group down in Hastings, and they were having their, it was the campaigners, it's like the Boys Brigade group, and they were having their camp away, and they asked me to go along and be the pastor there, so I went along. And one evening we gathered in the men's changing room by the swimming pool, because there was no other proper buildings. And we started to pray, and I prayed for one young lad. And fortunately, well, say fortunate, that's the wrong word, God's grace, he started talking in tongues. So I said to him, go and pray your friend. He went and prayed for his friend, and he started talking in tongues. And in the end, I'm sat on a box actually up in the corner, watching all these young people praying for each other. And the Spirit of God came down. And they were all praising God in other tongues. And it was so amazing that the other leaders of the camp who weren't in thought, we better come and see what's going on. There's a lot of noise coming out of that changing room. We better make sure it's safe. And one of the leaders came in. And he opened the door. And as the Spirit of God hit him, there were three leaders flat on their backs in the field outside the toilet at the changing room doors. The Spirit of God is mighty, isn't it? You can know and you can expect to have times with that in God. I'm not showing off, it's just God who does these things. Yeah, say I've been fortunate in God. Yes, and I have had times, I'll bring it back to our level, that when I've been praying, it's felt like the prayers have bounced off the ceiling. Come back. But those times when you meet with God, would you like to have been a disciple? Would you like to have been there when all those things were happening? I think it would have been challenging times too, wouldn't it? It's not always easy. You know, I'm going to go through the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. I'll be reading a bit from each as I go along. So it's all the events that we've already heard about on Palm Sunday, but I'll be sharing those as I go along. In Matthew 10, Mark 6, and Luke 10, Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to send you out into the crowds. I'm going to send you out with Kerry, and she's going to show you how to do these. No, I'm going to send you out into the crowds, and you will do these things. You're going to preach. Fishermen preaching. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they are going to become well. You're going to pray for the demon possessed and they're going to be set free. I don't know how you'd feel like a disciple when that came. I would think, whoa, oh, excitement, but a bit of trepidation, don't you think? But they didn't. He sent out the disciples to cast out demons. He paired them up and out they went with the instructions. And he said to the disciples, and I just want to remind you as a church this morning, as Christians, you're disciples. Do you know that? You are all disciples. You might not be one of the original 12, but you are all disciples today. And he said to the disciples, go and do what I have been doing. Go and do what I have been doing. And they've seen Jesus do great things, haven't they? And how about being there, being one of the disciples? And he says to them, 5,000 people, go and feed them. Uh-oh. Go and feed these 5,000 people. Jesus, we haven't got a lot. There's one lad with his snack box there, but you know, what can we do? What can we do? Well, five loaves, three little fishes, 5,000, that's I'll ask, get some geek to work that out. But they went and did it. They went about it. How about this one? From Luke 19. As they both approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called Mount Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" In in Matthew, it reads like this: as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, 'Tell him the Lord have needs them,' and he will send it right away." Mark says, as they approached, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go to the village ahead of you. You'll find a colt there, no one's ridden. Untie it. And the Lord say to them, 'The Lord needs it, and he'll send it back shortly.' Go into Letchworth. You'll find a transit van with the keys in. Just jump in. If anybody stops you, just say, 'It's okay, the Lord needs it.'" Do you fancy that? How many of you would have the bottle to go and do that? Go and take a donkey. Go and take a transit van. Go and do this. I'm not sure I would have been quite so bold as the disciples. But it says, those who were sent went and found it just as he told them. Go and borrow it. And as they were tying the colt, its owners asked him, "Oi, why are you untying that colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it." What about that for a challenge? What was going through the disciples' minds? Is he asking us to steal or to borrow a valuable donkey? Donkeys were the cornerstone of human existence. And they're still vital in many countries today, aren't they? You'll see donkeys doing so much. They ferry water, they carry the food, they carry the crops. You know, it's a mode of transport. He was asking his disciples to deprive someone of their donkey. Might as well have been for an hour or two, but he was taking it away. I'm sure Matthew might get a bit upset if somebody went out and borrowed his van. I'm sure his boss would be more upset than Matthew, but that's what they were asked to do. Go and take this donkey. How would you feel if somebody asked you to do that? They did say, "I'll send it back," but is that good enough? Well, they went and found the colt outside, just as Jesus said, and they found the donkey, they untied it. The people said, "What are you doing?" They said, "Jesus said," and the people let them go. Did they know who the Lord was at that time? Some may have, some may not have. Let them go. You know, disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. It's brilliant because when they got there, it was just as he said. Must have been a bit of confidence building up, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Right, I'm going down this street. Yeah, there's a donkey. There's the colt. Bit of rope. Well, that's pretty good. It's just as he said. Now, we did say the people would let us have it, so yeah, let's try. And the man whose donkey it was came out of his door. "What are you doing, my donkey?" "The Lord needs it." "Okay." Can you imagine the tension falling off them? Disciples did what Jesus instructed, brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. Why a donkey? Why a donkey? You know, if I was going to let the Lord come in. I would have had a stallion, a beautiful white stallion, or maybe a big black one, you know, a beautiful horse, or even a chariot. Can you imagine that? Two big, beautiful horses and a chariot, and I put Jesus on it and say, come on, go for it, go and show them who you are. But no, he chose a donkey. You know, when we see King Charles, do we ever see him on a donkey? No, we see him in posh carriages. We see him in those gilded cages. And we're just thinking about that. Inside a chariot, inside a coach, you're separated from the people, aren't you? You can sit there and you can do the wave. Or you can just acknowledge people and you can whisper to the wife, look at the state of him over there, but they won't hear you. But no, on a donkey, you're vulnerable. On a donkey, people could touch you. On a donkey, you were there, right in the midst. You know, we see famous people in expensive cars, we see the footballers on top of coaches and, you know, double-decker buses with the tops off. But Jesus came in lowly and humbly on a donkey. Jesus chose a donkey or a colt. Say they were, the donkeys were the symbol of industry. Everybody used them for their work. But also they were a sign of peace. And at the time, they could also have been a sign of wealth. When I was in Israel again, I don't know why I'm reminiscing on this one. We went to Jericho, and this local man came up to me and he said, how much for the wife? He says, how much for the wife? I said, hang on. He says, I'll give you 3 camels and a Mercedes. If I'd known a camel was worth £1,000, I might, you know, it might have been a different story. But yeah, you were around, you could have had the Mercedes later on. But anyhow, but seriously, yeah. A donkey had some worth. Not as much as a camel, but they were. And, you know.
He's losing his.
Yeah, a sign of wealth. If you had a donkey, you could work. But if he had a horse, if he had come in on that big white stallion, that speaks of power, of war, of military might. It spoke of aggression. Jesus came humbly and gently. Now, Aesop and Homer, the old Greek writers, by the way, it's not the Simpsons. For example, when they looked at donkeys are servile. They do as they're told. They will do as they're asked. You know, there's this colt. Reading it, I was a little bit confused. I'm not sure if Jesus sat on the donkey or the colt, but whatever it was, it doesn't matter really. But if he sat on the colt had never been ridden before. And yet, it carried our Lord. Never known anything on its back, yet it carried it. But donkeys are also represented to be stubborn, stupid. Well, the biblical imagery, however, we'll forget the Greek writers, have just symbolizes humility, peace, suffering, and service. I'm sure you've seen that advert on the telly, isn't it, where they're overloading these donkeys with bricks. And there's the donkey. There's a donkey sanctuary down in Devon, where I come from. You know, where they take in donkeys which have been cruelly treated. But donkeys are workhorses. Donkeys are a thing of the people. Donkeys are something which anyone could attain to. And that showed to me that Jesus is available to all of us. And he can be carried by any one of us. I'm not saying you're stupid or servile. I'm not saying that at all. But they were obeying him. He took a donkey because it fulfilled prophecy. As Carrie read, rejoice, rejoice. See your king comes, righteous and victorious, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. They're the symbol of humility, a symbol of peace. Riding a donkey, rather than a war horse, was a humbling experience. It was a sign of peace, contrasting with that thing, the mighty things of war. You know, they were crying out, Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us. They wanted to be saved from the Roman oppression. What they needed was salvation from their sins. They needed salvation and from the separation from God who loved them. And that's what they got that day, that Palm Sunday. That's what they had. Matthew's Gospel mentions a donkey and the colt, with the disciples to bring them both to Jesus. The colt? Some interpretations suggest that the colt represents us, the non-Jewish, the Gentiles, and who are also to be saved. So alongside the Jews, we were included that day in that ride that led to salvation, that ride that led to the cross, that ride that led to the resurrection, that ride that led to the ascension to the right hand of Father. We were counted in that day. So what made the disciples go and fetch this donkey and this colt of a donkey? What makes you do something that when somebody asks you to do it? Sometimes it's trust. You trust them. You have faith. The disciples were with one who had never let them down. They were with one that they'd seen everything that he had said and done. And everything he said and done was trustworthy and honest. Everything he did was faithful. His word, his instructions, all that he did came to pass. There wasn't a single time he had let them down. They got that donkey because they trusted him. They knew that if he asked them to do it, it would come to pass. It would be accomplished. Even when deep out of their comfort zone, he had never led them to be ashamed. When he said to them, go feed the 5,000, he didn't have them finishing up looking silly by managing to half a dozen people.
Are you just nearly asleep, or are you really blessed?
No, I'm listening, and he's...
All he asked of them was to succeed. Yeah. If he said, go and do this, and they did it, it was successful. This is why they could go and untie that donkey. After being sent out in the mission fields two by two, what did it say about them? It worked. They came back to Jesus and said, hey, it happened. They got excited. They were excited because he said, go and heal the sick. They laid hands on them and the sick were healed. They even cast out demons. Trust. Faith. Has God ever let you down? What's your experience? He's never let me down. There's been times I haven't understood it all.
God has been.
Just put a note
up at the bottom from Alistair and Sylvia.
I don't know who they are.
And before I had time to read.
When I do what David wants to do, it doesn't always succeed. But when I do what Jesus asks me to do, there's success. They went and did what they did because they were obedient. Obedience is not an easy word. They were truly his disciples. They were his he was their master. So as he asked all that, so as he asked of them, they did it. You know, just like our children. No, seriously. They obeyed because they trusted. Obedience is not a very popular word in today's world, I don't think. Perhaps there's not the same amount of confidence in others that there has been. And I suppose respect for leaders is not as it was, because leaders have been showing to let us down. I'm not a politician. I won't get into politics. But when you look at what's happening around us, it's difficult to believe what some people say.
You couldn't. There's a certain David, I
see on telly with a beautiful white mass of hair, who seems to say one thing one day and refute it the following day. If he asked me to do something, I don't think so. Because he's not trustworthy. And I couldn't be obedient to one who isn't. Just a short word this morning. So, in conclusion, now let me just digress. Just one moment. As I said, we are his disciples, aren't we? We are his people. Yeah? Well, me and Kerry are. The rest of you I'm not sure about now. We are God's people, aren't we? We are disciples. Yes? Yeah? Good. With Good Friday coming up, it's a funny one, Good Friday, isn't it? Why is it good? Well, we know that he took our sins and our sorrows. There's an old song that goes, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the grave?" And it's a lovely old song. Lovely
two. Old song.
But I'm just adding this in just to let you know. You were there when they nailed him to the cross. You were. All that you have done, all that you will do, all that you're doing, all those wrong things that we did that separated us from God, we were there, and he nailed them to the cross. So on Good Friday, when you have your reflection, just remember he did it for you, because you were there when they crucified him. You were represented. Just, I suppose, as we would be represented in the crowd that was crying out, "Hosanna." Just as we could be represented in the disciples being obedient, having trust and faith in Jesus. We are included in all that God has ever done. Do you know that? You have not been left out. I find that exciting. I find that wonderful that God has never left me out. While I was a sinner, so he loved me. It's amazing, isn't it? So when we think about this Easter coming up, when we think about Good Friday, we were there, represented somewhere in that crowd. Our sins were nailed to the cross. There's a story told. It's not mine, so I can't remember who did it, but a man went to the cross. He had this vision of the cross, and there was a list of all the names of the people were nailed with Jesus' hand upon the cross. And this guy went along and he looked at the paper, and he's looking at it, going down it. And he looked up at Jesus, he said, "My name's not there. My name's not there." And Jesus said, "Yes, it is, son. It's right under the nail. Right under the nail. Hidden by his blood-stained hands." You have been, this Easter, it's a great time of year. You were there, represented. You need to be, we need to be, the ones who would be willing to go and untie that donkey. We should be the ones who are willing to to step out in faith when he says, go and do. There will be times, and I'm winding up now, there will be times when the Lord asks us to do things which might seem quite strange. There'll be times when he asks us to do things which seem reasonable. There'll be times when he asks us to do things we don't understand or expect. There'll be times when he'd ask us to do things that we would rather not do. The people who know me from years ago, they laugh. Who would think that David would end up speaking to people, speaking to crowds, speaking to groups? I was the shyest person you could ever know. But Jesus asked me, and I think I laughed. Hey, here we are. So there will be times when you'll be asked to do things which don't seem right or don't seem natural to you. Let's put it like that. That's better. There'll be times when there's things you'd rather not do. It's at those times we need to be obedient. And we need to step out in trust and faith in God. How can we tell when it is God speaking? Check it out with Scripture. Check it out with the person of Jesus and the nature of God. Because he won't ask you to do anything that is against his will or nature. Or go and check with somebody you respect. Go and ask. Can we all trust the Lord? Can we trust him? How great is your faith? How great is my faith? Do you notice the donkey and the colt were just where he said? Not in the street next door, not in the village up the road, right where he said, because he knows what's happening before. We can trust him. We can trust him, can't we? Yes. You don't have to scrabble a search for what he said. It's there. God is always true to his word. He can't lie. So that moment of dread, what are we going to do about this donkey? Jesus' foreknowledge prepares the situation before us. He said to us years ago, as a church, go and plant a church in Letchworth. Go and help the brethren in Letchworth. And the leaders of this church, they were bold. And they sent Philip and Rachel and the team over there. And that's now a witness in Letchworth. The leaders could have said, oh, we can't afford to send our best people. We just can't afford to lose people like that. But the leaders of this church were faithful and obedient. And it's succeeding. Praise God. He said, go and plant a church in Alsey. So we tried, so we did that as well. And it was successful for the time that it needed to be. But now there's a witness in Alsey. God knows what he's doing and what he's saying. Off you go.
Yeah.
Church, off you go and start untying donkeys. Off you go. What about the colt unbroken? Well, it's there. This was the very first act of Easter that we really think of. We know that Jesus rode into Jerusalem with the cries of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They laid down palm leaves. They shouted for a savior. And that is what they received. They called out to God. And God gave them what they asked for. Not how they expected, but what they needed. when they needed, how they needed it. They shouted for a saviour, and that's what they got. They wanted to be saved from tyranny, but they got filled with peace and love and grace. They cried out for freedom, yet they got tied to a God who gives them his best. That's true today. He's there for us. Go and untie a donkey today, if Jesus asks you to. And if you really need it, Matt might even lend you his van. Let's just pray. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name. They praised him, laid down their coats, and he met them at the point of their needs. Lord, meet us at the point of our needs. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our obedience. Lord, I thank you. You've never failed us, and you never will. In that mighty name of our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
What do you think?
He still waffles about a bit, isn't he? But he still does say something worth listening.
Of Jesus, our Saviour, taking the form of a lowly one, but bringing salvation. So if we're able, let's stand and sing. My song is Love Unknown. My Saviour's...
to the loveless, shown that they might love living.
here might we stay and sing. No story so divine. Never was love, dear King Jesus. Never was grief like thine. This is our friend. Join in whose sweet praise we all our days could gladly spend. Amen.
Yes, I echo that. Well done. Singing a whole verse with the wrong lyrics on the screen. That is impressive. That is worshipping God, isn't it? Right, whilst we wait for the others to come through, just to remind you that afterwards we're having a celebration lunch. Teas and coffees will be available. So go through and then come back, because we just need a little bit of time to set the room up and get the food ready. So there we go. Thank you to David for that word. I was inspired by that, you know, go find a donkey and let it go sort of stuff. You know, how are we going to do that this week? Not literally, clearly. But how are we going to do that this week? How are we going to do that this week? And how are we going to listen to what God's going to say to us? Right. I have a feeling this might get noisy. Absolutely. Ah, brilliant. Let's just move this out of the way. Are you going to explain to us, Helen, what you've done?
No, the children can.
Oh, the children can. All right, are you going to leave a bit? Thank you. Let's just move that somewhere out.
Can you not see the children?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been learning about Palm Sunday, unsurprisingly, and the children can tell you what we've been making this morning.
We've been making prayer shakers. Yeah. Inside of the shakers are just beans and rice. And every single thing that you need, and there's some stickers on them.
We were acting that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and we put some cloths on the floor for him to walk on.
We made pray shakers to praise God. We played a little game. It was so, so amazing.
We made pray shakers, and Jesus is the Son of God.
Zephaniah made a lovely palm branch. Do you want to hold it up and wave it? He sometimes smiles as well. And what did you make, Gracie? What did you make? You put some stickers on your shaker, didn't you?
Yes.
Right, I think we're going to do a procession together.
Well done, let's give them a round of applause. Well done. Right, so we're going to sing another song, but I need some help. Are you going to help us? Because when Jesus rode into the donkey, you're going to help, are you? Excellent, stay there then. What did Jesus do? Excellent, good man. What did Jesus do? What did the crowds do when Jesus rode into Jerusalem?
They threw their clothes on the floor.
Yeah, threw their coats on the clothes. Yeah, not all the clothes, thank goodness. Yes? They waved palms, yes. And you've made palms. So what we're going to do...
And what did they shout?
Oh, yeah.
Hosanna!
Right. So we're going to shout and sing and praise and sing a song, singing Hosanna, and all those things are on the screen. And in the basket there, you can see there are palm crosses. So as you take your palm and you wave it and shake it, would you take some of those crosses and go around the room and give everybody here a cross to remind them of Palm Sunday? And then we're going to put the cloaks down as well, but please don't trip over them. And we're going to do exactly the same. Is that all right? Are we up for this? Yes, great, thank you. Thank you, Jacob. Oh. Oh, good. That's fantastic.
Hallelujah.
Please stand and sing and wave your crosses. And hallelujah. If you want to walk down the coast,
of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy of our lifted up, be high and lifted up, be high and lifted up. Jesus, it's you we glorify, it's you we're lifting high, your name be glorified.
Crosses up. I just pray that as we go out from here today, that we will represent Jesus Christ, that we will carry the cross of Jesus in our hearts, that we will go and we will release those donkeys into the community that needs to know about Jesus Christ. Let us be a light in a darkened world, and pray that God goes with each and every one of you and blesses you in everything that you do. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. The good news is food is ready. So I'm sorry for those on Zoom. Thank you for joining us, but you're just going to have to trust us that it tastes nice. But we hope you enjoy your lunch at home. Please do work your way through in an orderly fashion where Steve has prepared wonderful food for us. So bless you, and we'll look forward to having conversations this afternoon. Thank you.
And Vicky. There's that couple that live in Bickleford. Alwyn, I don't know what his name is. And he used to be able to drive, didn't he?
Cars? Oh. Thank you, Steve, Jacob. Well, Heather's reminded me, a lot of people get in the car, so as people pass your car, they can see it there, and then we'll see that you are a Christian, that you have a belief in Jesus and that what that means to you.
Again?
Spread the message.
You can't see.
There are spares if you want
to. Hurry up, because it will go off in a minute.
That's what I'm trying to do.
This is Olwyn sitting in a wheelchair, and that's the old, that's her husband. Remember, they used to drive from Ickleford, and then he felt he couldn't drive anymore for any reason. He gave his car to...
there's one of the tall, there's a tall black fella there trying to take a little girl into the outside. It's all the little girl can do to keep up with him. He's got her hand, which is sort of held above her head. He's so much taller than she is. He's stretched his